tonight we are in Psalm chapter number 73. I was going to say this evening, but this late afternoon. On Sunday nights we are going through some of the Psalms, and we're calling it the Songs of Life. Of course, it's scripture, but we know that there was also songs that they sang, and they teach us great lessons. Today we're going to look at Psalm chapter number 73. What I want us to see is one thing you gotta appreciate, it's a kind of a generic term about the Bible, is that God put in there all the struggles of the men of the Bible. Sometimes we look at them and it's like, wow, they're high and lifted up compared to us. And basically, I guess many of them are. But they had struggles just as we are, just as we have had. And we're going to see one of the men and the struggles that he had. And it's a struggle that some of us will have. And it can get us sidetracked and lead us away. Psalm chapter 73 was written by Asaph. Asaph was a Levite, one of the leaders of David's singers. He wrote several psalms, many psalms actually. He is mentioned along with David as skilled in music and also as a seer, a bit of a prophet. His sons are mentioned in 1 Corinthians and Ezra and 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, and Ezra. They were a class of singers. So he was a leader in a musical sense, godly man. He was spiritually minded. He was musically talented at praising God. He was a bit of a prophet and a seer. He raised a family that was godly and served God to farther generations. And he wrote scripture. So he was a great servant of God, but he had struggles. He was human and not some super Christian. Sometimes we think of some, sometimes we go to the church. I know as a new Christian, I go to the church and I'd see people and it's like, wow. They really must be a super Christian. And then I got to know them, okay? Like when I went to Bible college, like, man, all these people want to serve God. And then I got a roommate. I'm like, nope, not all of them want to serve God. But he had his struggles and some things he had to work through. And we're going to look at one of those today. This psalm shows the particular struggle he had to overcome. Here it is. His struggle was with the comparison he made with those around him who were wealthy but ungodly, while he was a common man who was serving God and trying to be godly. It's the age-old problem we have, where as Christians we get fixated on this world and we look at our situation and where we're at. We see ungodly people and we see that it seems like everything is going well for them, and it seems like they don't struggle with the problems that we have. And to be honest with you, sometimes we don't deal with that very well. An old-time preacher, he wrote many commentaries, J. Vernon McGee, he told a story once where his wife went to the hospital, they had a baby, and the baby died immediately. And after he came to the hospital and it just happened and he heard the news, he went outside to get some air and he was distraught about it. And he said as he went outside, there was a guy and some of his buddies, and they were outside the hospital drinking and messing around and being profane because they just had a baby. And he got a little down about that and thought, how in the world, Lord, this guy is profane, they're drinking outside the hospital, acting like idiots, taking your name in vain, and they had a baby, and here I am trying to serve you, and my baby dies. You see, sometimes we see what's going on, and if we're not careful, we start to think that God is not fair. We get our focus off of God, and we start to look at our circumstances. And by the way, I'm sure I'll get in it somewhere in the message, but what you see on the outside is not what's always true on the inside. So just mark that in your margins of your head for a minute. But when we get our focus off of God and start looking at circumstances, we start to compare ourselves to others. And that can be very discouraging. We can get down. When we compare the things of the and people of this world to the people of God, it will always lead us to despair. By the way, someone that doesn't know God, they just live in one world, this one. for those of us that are saved and know the Lord, we live in two worlds. We live in this one, but really we're living for the next one.
Yeah.
We have to look at things different. But this was such a bad problem that it almost caused Asaph to slip away. Now, this wasn't just some guy. He wasn't just a choir member. You say, wait, what does that mean? I'm just a choir member. Okay, back it up. I'm sorry. Because there's no thing, just thing is just a choir. You know what I'm talking about. This wasn't just a new Christian kind of guy. And he's just, this was a leader. This was a spiritual guy. He knew God deeply, probably better than any of us know. But he struggled. Asaph struggled because his focus got off. And I want to look at his focus in really two areas this afternoon. Because one of those focus that he had almost derailed his life. But when he was able to fix that and focus in correctly, he was delivered from those problems. What was his focus? The first one was he focused on finances. He struggled with the prosperity of those who were wicked. He struggled with the prosperity of those who didn't love God, know God, and in some cases were antagonistic towards God. And he wondered, how in the world could they be blessed? That's not always necessary. By the way, just because somebody has something doesn't mean God's blessing them. Okay? God's blessing means a lot more than that. He was so disheartened by what he noticed. Look what he said in verse 2. My steps had well nigh slipped. Now listen to that. I'm talking about the song leader. He was a bit of a seer. He was the music guy in David's time of the great kingdom. And here he is in his heart saying, I'm going to slip as a Christian because I can't put together in my mind how God would allow somebody who doesn't love him to be prosperous, and I'm struggling. Was real for him. By the way, if all of us are honest in some way or another, we've had that thought. We've seen somebody, it's like, especially when we're going through a hard time, like, how come things are going well with them? They don't even go to church. I mean, they're antagonistic. Well, the story hasn't been written. But he saw it primarily in their prosperity, and he became envious. How can somebody who truly loves God, how can somebody that is spiritually minded become envious at somebody just because of their prosperity? Here it is. They have a wrong view of prosperity. We think prosperity is how many dollars we have in our pocket. We think of prosperity simply because our bills are paid, or we have a car that doesn't break down. That's not prosperity. Now, God does bless, but that's not prosperity. We're going to look at what real prosperity is in a minute. It's not stuff. We just saw that a man's life consisteth not in the things which he possesseth. Some of us have that too. Oh, we would not outwardly say that, but it bothers us. You know, all these stars, and they're so liberal, and they hate God, and they're pro-killing babies, and all kinds of sexual perversion. And it's like, how come God does? Look, that's why the Mormons believe that one day you can become a god and have your own planet. Let me just tell you something. There wouldn't be a liberal alive if that was true and I was God. My planet would be clean. Hey, God, who are you? Zzz, your ashes. Let's kill babies. Let's start with you. Okay? Listen, there's a reckoning coming. Okay? God is still in control. And those kind of people are going to live with the consequences of their decisions. We just don't see them yet. Maybe the biggest battle we face is not the influence of the world, but the affluence of the world. That's what we do. It's a struggle. But aside from prosperity, we watch the lifestyles of those who don't know God, even if they're not rich, and are influenced by that. You're at work, and you hear somebody say, you know, I'm going away for the weekend. And they go away every weekend, and everything, oh, we're having such a great time. It's like, I go to church, and I serve God. What am I missing out? Let me explain something to you. You're not missing out. I remember as a 19 and 20 year old, we'd be on our bus routes when I was in Bible college, and we had bricks for brains. We would be out visiting till like 9, 10 o'clock at night on our bus routes. I think about that now. I was telling my kids, I would be out door knocking sometimes at 9:30 at night. And I'm thinking, man, if someone knocked on my door at 9:30 at night, that would not go over very well. We were ignorant. But I remember sometimes we'd be out there, especially in Chicago, it's freezing cold, and you're out there on a Saturday, 7, 8, 9 o'clock at night, we're out visiting, and Satan would throw thoughts like, man, you're a young guy, why are you out here doing this on a Saturday night? All kinds of goofy thoughts come in our mind, because we're serving God. But when we get mixed up on what's really prosperity, our success, we start thinking kind of goofy. What happens when we have this wrong view of finances and people's lives? Several things. We view ourselves wrong. Look at verse 2. He says, but as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. He was looking at himself wrong. He looked at them and he shouldn't have been focused on what they have, because when he got focused on what they have, everything turned inward and he looked at himself and he started viewing what's going on in his life. We're not supposed to compare our life to anybody or anything. You want to compare your life? Compare your life to what God wants you to do and what God wants you to be, and everything else will work out. We view ourselves wrong. He didn't need to be like that. By the way, if we're saved, we're the ones that are on solid footing. And we ought to be on solid footing. We shouldn't be slipping around because of what's going on. Psalm chapter 40, verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. You can have a stability they can't ever have. By the way, didn't we read in the other passage this morning, we're not supposed to trust in uncertain riches? But boy, we think they're rock solid. We have everything we need. If you're struggling today, it's not because of the rock. Man, when Jesus put, he brought us, look, if you're saved, you're brought out of all that garbage. Man, you should be rock solid in your faith. But we don't get that sometimes. We view ourselves wrong. And then we start to view others wrong. Look at verse 4 and 5. And we could go all the way down through the list, but I don't want to be here forever. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. Time out. How does he know that? You can't know that for just looking at somebody from the outside. Oh, look it. They have a nice car, and they have money in their pocket, and they have a trophy wife or a trophy husband or whatever. It all looks so good. How do you know that? Is there a trophy husband? Well, my wife has one, but is there any others? If I'm a trophy, Jerry, I don't know what you are. But you don't know their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, verse 5. Neither are they plagued like other men. Hogwash! Prosperity doesn't keep you from problems. They just haven't surfaced yet. He had a wrong view of others. See, what we possess doesn't protect us from the pitfalls of life. Just because you own a beautiful home doesn't mean you have a great family. Just because you have an expensive ring doesn't mean you have a great marriage. Just means you'll have some money. Just because you have a great car doesn't mean you know where you're going in life. And if you own a Ford, you're going nowhere. I have nice clothes. What about character? Well, I have higher education. Do you have wisdom? Amen. See, we look at all, man, they went to this public university and they got a PhD and an HMR and a ZKM, whatever they want to get. And they're usually foolish in the way they live. Yep. Our colleges are no longer schools of higher living. They're schools of lower living.
Yes, they are.
That was free. Thought I'd throw that in because I'm still upset about the patio. But all this stuff. Then we start to view Christianity wrong. Look at verse 13. Now look at what he said. This is amazing to me. Verse 13, and let this sink in. After all this nonsense and watching all these people, he says, verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. You know what he said? Living for God's a waste. I wasted my time living right. Am I missing something here? Isn't that what he just said?
Yeah.
By the way, young people, that's what you do. Let's park here for just a second. So you get to go to our school. You have parents that love you. They bring you to church. They put you in a great environment. Why are you looking over the fence at those who are that are not in church, that aren't serving God? You know, those of us that we didn't grow up, we grew up in public school, we didn't serve God. Listen, when I got right with God, I couldn't get away from that fast enough. And it used to bother me, Robert, when I'd go to church and I'd see these kids my age and they're like talking about going to the world. And I'm like, hey, I got out of that thing. What are you doing? What are you talking about? You want to look like them, act like them, and dress like them. We'll save that one for another day. But it's like, all this stuff I'm doing, it's a waste. It is not a waste. I could, and you might know some of them. Most of my friends I grew up with, Robert, they're not in a good spot. They're not in a good spot.
Nope.
I'll take where I'm at any day of the week.
Yep.
And I brought some of my buddies, and they got saved. And there was a couple of them that tried to do right, and they went off on their own way. Listen, and it's not a game, but I won.
Yep.
I don't care what they got. I don't care if they have a business making millions of dollars. I'm happy. I don't look back at my Christian life and say, I wasted it. I could have been out partying and doing my own thing. And oh, listen, I didn't waste anything. But that's what happens. And some of you young kids, you got a wrong view of Christianity. You're keeping me from something. Yes, from sin and destruction.
Amen.
Quit looking at others. Well, it looks cool, man. They dress cool and they talk the talk. Hey, give it 10 years. My friends all talk to talk, and many of them can't hardly talk now. Quit looking at that nonsense. But that's what we do. We look at the world, and it's like, man, what a waste it was for me to live for God. You wasted nothing.
Amen.
We'll get to that in a minute. I'm missing out. I'm being held back. You're not being held back. What if I come to Christian school? My life's going to be, no, your wife's going to be better.
Yep. Amen.
You're going to miss out on a bunch of junk. By the way, parents, you send your kids there and then you come home and wonder why your boy wants to be a girl. Why your girl wants to be a boy. And why they question everything you believe. How can you sit in school all day and everything that you believe is being questioned? They're not even teaching the kids how to read anymore. How to write. Years ago, we had a kid. They were in our kindergarten class. The family got away from God. They took their kid out of our Christian school. But later on, my wife was talking, and the lady said when she put her kid in the public school in first grade, when the teacher found out the kid could read, she said, that's dangerous. I'm like, do you have a brain in your head? Back to our regularly scheduled message. You know, there's no waste in serving God. And since you brought it up, some of you, I'll do Bible college for a semester, a year, and I'm going to do all my own thing. If that's what God wants you to do, it. But if that's not what God wants you to do, you'll be miserable. You're afraid to serve God. I'm irritated today, so let's just throw this out. I'm afraid to give my life for God. I'll miss out. You'll miss out on nothing. And too many of you are giving in too easy. You are. God wants to use you to do something, and you don't want to have anything to do with it. What's wrong with us? You know why? Because you're looking at some other college punk and what they said, and you don't know the whole story. Why don't you ask somebody that knows a little bit better? Not your buddy doesn't know anything. Look, when I was 18 or 19, I didn't know anything. Now, I thought I knew everything. Then I got married and I learned really quick, I don't. You don't know anything. And you're making decisions for the rest of your life. Why don't you just find out what God wants? You don't even want to give God a chance. Well, I'll sneak into some classes, and maybe I'll just, you know, maybe I'll just audit, and that way you get me off my back because I showed up to Bible college. Pooey with that.
Come on.
Did you get serious about God? Okay. Next, number two. How did he get everything right? He started focusing on faith. He was really screwed up until something happened. Look at verse 18. He said, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Now, I'll give him some credit here because, you know, he had a spiritual side and he was struggling and he's thinking about all this and his mind must be, you know, cuckoo. And he's like, man, that's too hard. What happened? Verse 17. Until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their end. He said, in essence, I went to church. I started looking at, and then I started looking at things from a spiritual standpoint. And then I realized their end isn't very good.
That's right.
It doesn't all work out in the end.
Yep.
People can fool you for a while. Hey, if the rich elite of this world are so happy, how come they can't keep their marriages? I mean, it's almost getting comical. If a guy becomes a great basketball player, he's got to date a Kardashian. And they go for, and this person like, oh yeah, they're wonderful, they're rich, and they make all these movies. They've had 12 husbands or 12 wives, or maybe they've had a husband and a wife. Where is the joy? And then everybody gets shocked when one of them commits suicide. Because they lived for the wrong thing and it didn't bring what they thought it would bring.
Yep.
And Asaph said, man, I was at church. I started hearing the scripture or I started looking at this thing from a spiritual standpoint. It's like, I get it now. See, and I'll be nice here. If you are struggling with something like that, it's because you're not spiritual.
Come on.
And I'm not saying you're, and let me, I was a little rough today, but let me just backtrack. It doesn't mean you're a bad person. Okay, even our it doesn't mean you're bad. You're just looking at it from the wrong perspective. You ought to get some spirituality in there also. Because if we don't look at, look, if any, and I'll talk about all of us here, if we don't look at things from a spiritual perspective, we're going to be messed up. God, look at it. He goes, I went into the sanctuary of God and I understood their end. When you come to church or you hear his word and when you read his word, you really understand what's going on in this world in a better light. You really do.
Yep.
People talk about, you know, sometimes your kids are messing up. Like, hey, you need an attitude adjustment. Either you adjust it or I'll help you. Right? Do you know all of us need an attitude adjustment?
Yep.
I do. You do. Yep. Because if we don't look at things from a spiritual perspective, we get kind of messed up. Been there, done that. Okay? Been there. Asaph got what he needed from the sanctuary. Look at verse 22. We know he totally gets it. He goes, so foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. That's why it was good to read the whole psalm first, because you know at the end he got it together, okay? It's like, hey, this guy's going to tell us where he's in it. But what happens when we start to focus on our faith? We view eternity right. Look at verse 17 again. Until I went to the sanctuary of God, then understood I therein. He goes, this thing has an eternal perspective to it. And by the way, let me say this. A lot of times people that are wealthy and without God, they have problems, they just hide it. But let's just say, Brother Ivan, they don't. Let's just say that everything does go well for them. And they have everything they want, and their heart's content, and they're one of the few that get through life with great health and no problems, and then they die, and they go to hell. They lost.
Yeah, amen.
They lost. By the way, I'll throw this out here, even though it's not part of it, but it'll work. Sometimes we look at Christians who aren't serious about God, and they seem to be doing okay, and it's like, well, they're a Christian. There is such a thing as rewards. There is such a thing as God bearing fruit in your life, okay? And I know some, I'll be real sensitive here, people close to me, And you know, they go to church, but just enough. They're saved. They say, and then they're shocked that their kids are like believing some weird nonsense. It's like, you raised them like that. You wonder why you have nothing but struggles in your marriage. Yeah. You kind of wanted just enough of God to cleanse your conscience, but not enough of God to make a difference. But we view eternity right. All of us need to live with eternity at the forefront.
Amen.
We do. Just always think about eternity. You look at it and say, man, is what I'm doing really matter on this earth? If you mean, I'm driving a bus. Does it really matter if I'm out here driving the bus?
Absolutely.
As long as you don't run over somebody, yes.
Absolutely.
But you can get a little, man, I'm out here early. We have bus kids on the mission field.
Yep.
Bus kids on staff.
Yep.
Yeah, that's worth it. But even if you don't see it here, it'll be worth it when you get to heaven. We don't view eternity right. We don't view earth right. Verse 18. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into destruction as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. Now I believe part of that is eternally, but I believe part of it is also on this earth. Their problems are coming. No one gets away with it. Don't look at the outward trappings. Don't look at it. Serving God really, really, really does pay. It does. It's the greatest thing you can do.
Amen.
Don't be bought off by somebody with a smile on Instagram. We view equality right, equity right. Look at verse 27. For lo, that they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a whoring from thee. Well, what do we get? Here's what we get, verse 28. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in God that I may declare all his works. You know what he's saying? Here's what he's saying. We as Christians have something this world can never, ever, ever have. A close relationship with God. They can't. They may say it. Well, you know, me and the man upstairs have an agreement. Well, if you live in an apartment and someone lives upstairs, maybe that's true. But God is not the man upstairs.
Yeah.
You know, I've got this thing figured out with God, and this is just where I'm at. I don't care where you're at. You don't have an agreement with God unless you're following what the Bible says.
Yeah.
Okay?
Amen.
And a person that doesn't know God, that's not saved, they can make all the money in the world, but you have something they can never have. You can go to bed at night and know, I know God. You go to bed at night and know, I'm eternally secure. I know that God loves me, and I know I can pray and God can hear me. The world can't have that.
Yep.
And once whatever they're putting their security in starts to crumble, guess where they all want to run to? Remember the early days of our church. We were a Cambodian church, and we started reaching some teenagers. And the older Cambodians, because they just came from Cambodia, they're a little bit harder to reach. And we're reaching all these kids, and we reached some kids in the gangs, and their lives got changed. And it'd be funny. Here they come driving into our, and we were at a really small, dingy property right in the ghetto, gunshots, the whole nine yards. And here they'd come driving into our place with a Lexus. Some of them own restaurants and stores. Here they are. By the way, I don't know if you've seen, it was a 2,400 square foot, ugly building. And I can't even tell you the color it was, because when we painted it, we got all the paint we could find on the property and we just blended it all together. It looked like a puke gray. We couldn't get rid of the bugs in that stupid building. And we had to put up the fence. If you guys, any of you remember, we had to put up wood metal slats on the fence because the gangbangers came by and shot one of our kids. And we had to say, well, at least they're going to shoot at us. Let's make it harder for them. And here these rich people come in because their kids are a disaster. They didn't seem very happy then. Listen, we have God's help. We forget that. Let me ask you, what is your focus on today? Are you focused like Asaph on all of the wrong things? Because if you do, you're going to come to the wrong conclusions. Serving God is a great, and not just being saved. Let me encourage you in this. Get close to God. Get in your Bible.
Yeah.
Sometimes people come to church after a while, they start to flip. You know why? Because you never got that relationship with God thing straight. Oh, you're saved. You might like the church. But do you spend time with God personally? Let's not be like Asaph. By the way, let's not get on Asaph. Because if we're honest with you, some of us have had those thoughts before. Listen, there is nobody in this world, if you're a Christian that loves God and you're trying to be right with God, there's nobody in this world you need to be envious of. You don't. You got something with God that far exceeds all of that. If we'll just keep our head on straight. Let's stand together this afternoon.